You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Iceberg to Go, your daily dose of Pittsburgh Penguins news and analysis. You can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcasts from. It's going to be a busy day around the NHL. Obviously, the trade deadline coming up at 3 o'clock Eastern time, but the Penguins completed their first bit of business late in the evening last night following that horrific 6-0 loss at the hands of the Washington Capitals. They officially trade Jake Guentzel to the Carolina Hurricanes along with defenseman Ty Smith, and in return they get NHL player Michael Bunting and prospects Ville Koivunen, Vasily Ponomarev, and Cruz Lucius. They also collect two draft picks, both conditional, a conditional second-round pick that currently is the Philadelphia Flyers selection in the 2024 draft, and a conditional fifth-round pick of the Carolina Hurricanes. Now, the conditions on those two picks: the second-rounder from Philly becomes a first-rounder from Carolina if they reach the Stanley Cup final, and that conditional fifth-round pick officially comes to the Penguins if the Carolina Hurricanes win the Stanley Cup. So those are the pieces going back and forth in exchange for winger Jake Guentzel. Now, Guentzel himself joins Carolina in search for his second Stanley Cup. Of course, he won it in his rookie season back in 2017 when he broke the NHL rookie record for postseason goals and was well on his way to a Conn Smythe Trophy, if not for playing on a team with Sidney Crosby. He had a tremendous showing and has had tremendous showings in the postseason ever since. We all remember his electrifying performance against the Philadelphia Flyers in 2018, and you can look back as recently as 2022 when the Penguins faced off against the New York Rangers as Guentzel had another tremendous seven-game series in that one. So the Carolina Hurricanes get a good playoff performer that's able to score in bunches when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and that has been their biggest issue the last couple years in the postseason is their scoring dries up. Now, last year, they were without Andrei Svechnikov. That was a big reason why. So Guentzel comes in, should bolster that scoring depth, should give them more options to score, and one of the better teams in the National Hockey League gets another very, very solid piece for a hopeful run at a Stanley Cup. Now, on the Penguins side of things, my initial thoughts on this return: obviously, it's not what everybody was hoping for. Everybody wanted a first-round pick. Everybody wanted top-tier prospects, and that's not what the Penguins got. And I think a large part of that is the fact that this is going to be a rental, or at least from the outside looking in on the outset of this entire trade, it's going to be a rental. Jake Guentzel was not permitted to talk, and his representatives were not permitted to talk with Carolina Hurricanes beforehand on a contract extension, so this is the trade price for him as a rental. If he would have been able to negotiate, if he would have been able to tell the Carolina Hurricanes, hey, I'm going to sign a long-term extension, that's when you probably would have seen a no-doubt first-round pick. That's when you probably would have seen maybe a Nikishin, maybe a Nadeau, maybe a Morrow, or maybe a Blake. Those are their top four prospects. Those are the prospects that everybody, including me last night, had his eye on, because whenever you heard Michael Bunting was out of the lineup, whenever you heard it was Carolina and Pittsburgh, you automatically go to the top four prospects that would be very, very solid additions for the Penguins, especially the Penguins team that does not have a good prospect system. But unfortunately, this is a rental price tag, hence the reason the top four ended up going untouched. Instead, the Penguins collect the number 6, 7, and 9 prospects, according to The Athletic, from the Carolina Hurricanes. Ponomarev is a 21-year-old center, has 29 points in 39 games at the AHL level this season. He made his NHL debut earlier this year, scored 2 points in 2 games, so I would expect that he is on the team at if not this season, likely to start next season. So a young center that the Penguins are hoping is going to be able, at the age of 21, bring an infusion of youth, be part of that youth movement from very early on following this trade of Jake Guentzel. Koivunen, one of the more intriguing of the three to me, is a 20-year-old center right now playing for Karpat of Liiga over in Finland, 55 points in 57 games. Seems like that team always has connections with the Penguins. Joel Blomqvist played for that team last year when he was over in Europe. This year he comes over to North America, so adding Koivunen is an interesting little tidbit here. And then Lucius is a 19-year-old right wing that has 31 points in 32 games for the University of Wisconsin this year in the NCAA. All three, when you look at all the reports, I'm not going to pretend to be a big prospects guy. I'm not going to pretend that over the last 8 hours I've just scoured the tape of all three of these guys. From everything that I'm reading from people that have watched him and have watched all three of these guys, it seems like a lot of middle-of-the-road prospects that project to be potentially bottom six or at best middle six wingers and centers, middle six forwards. But what I am going to say is a lot of these players, and it goes for all prospects, their development is nonlinear. It's hard to predict. So all I'm saying is, don't bury these three. Could it have been better? Yes. Would I have preferred Nikishin, Nadeau, Morrow, and Blake, the four names I'm going to continue to say and that are probably going to be continued to be talked about over the next week or so as a result of this trade? Yeah, it would have been nice if the Penguins got that. It would have been nice if the Penguins got a no-doubt first pick instead of a conditional second-round pick. But at the end of the day, they got prospects that probably automatically move up towards the top five in the Penguins prospect pool. It's a weak pool that needed quantity, it needed quality, it needed everything. The one big surprise is we all thought Kyle Dubas was going to go out for quality over quantity. Instead, he goes for quantity and adds that to the Penguins prospect pool. Might not be what everybody wanted, but it is certainly something that was needed for the Penguins, and those are those three. But Michael Bunting is the other part of this. He's a decent NHLer. He showed that he has top six potential when he was playing with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He showed that he could find success when playing with an elite center like he did with Austin Matthews. Things haven't gone well in his first year in Carolina, but maybe that change of scenery bumps things back up to where he was in Toronto, which was a multi-time 20-goal scorer, and I understand it. It's going to be compared to Guentzel, and Guentzel is a perennial 30-goal scorer, at best a 40-goal scorer, and it's going to be hard to replace that type of production. And Bunting's not going to do it. He's not. But what they did get was a guy who has 36 points in 60 games in a position where he hasn't quite fit in. 13 goals, 23 assists this season for the Carolina Hurricanes. He's under team control for two more seasons at $4.5 million. So with Kyle Dubas knowing that Guentzel was on his way out, likely knowing that he wasn't going to be able to re-sign him, he knew he was going to have to go out into the market and get a top six forward. Bunting coming in at 4.5 is probably better than going to the free agent market simply because when you get to the free agent market, all those prices are elevated and you end up having to overpay. So he brings in Bunting, who could be a middle six guy right away, could be a top six guy at best. He's not somebody that at the age of 28 is going to be looked at as the future of this team or part of the future of this team. He's a guy to help out right now. And they're really going to look at those three prospects to hopefully hit on at least two of them for the future of this team. And that's my initial thoughts on the return. Again, overall, when you see it, a little underwhelming. When you dig into it a little bit more, there's a little bit of promise here. But again, when the expectations were high, especially when you're trading what is widely considered the top piece of the trade deadline, you expect to get a first rounder, some grade A prospects, especially whenever the rumored price was a first rounder, an NHLer that is younger, and a top tier prospect. That was it. Three pieces. Instead, the Penguins come away with five, and you could argue that it is 100% the marker of quantity over quality. Some people would have rather had quality. I might fall into that boat as well, but the quantity numbers, I don't hate the return. I just think it could have been much better, and I'm interested as to what was being offered around the league because there were six or seven teams, and if this was the result of a bidding war, then that bidding war went a lot differently than all of us could have imagined from the outside looking in. But again.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Prospects, all skilled forwards that project to be middle tier, middle six, maybe top six at best for one of them. That's probably Koivunen. But again, only time will tell on them. Just got to follow along with them. Let's talk a little bit about Jake Guentzel before we go here. His legacy in Pittsburgh, he goes down as the best linemate Sidney Crosby has ever had. You can say, oh, well, he played with Marian Hossa a little bit. He played with Jarome Iginla a little bit. Are we really going to count guys that played maybe 30 games at most with Sidney Crosby? No. Over 7 years, Jake Guentzel has solidified himself as the greatest winger to ever play alongside Sidney Crosby. And that chemistry was evident from very, very early on. From the sit in the kids line in 2017, as I mentioned, that historic cup run that Guentzel went on as a rookie, to his continued growth into a perennial top goal scorer in the National Hockey League, two-time 40-goal scorer, a perennial 30-goal scorer in the league. Nobody else could think the game on the level that Jake Guentzel did alongside Sidney Crosby. And let's not act like, and I see a lot of people on Twitter saying this, let's not act like it was all Sidney Crosby. There were times where Jake Guentzel carried some play, carried the play for that first line. There was obviously the times that Crosby was injured, and Jake Guentzel's play continued to be at a steady, consistent, over a point per game level or around a point per game level. Jake Guentzel is a bona fide superstar in this league. Scored 466 points, 219 goals in 503 regular season games with the Penguins, 58 points, 34 of them being goals in 58 postseason games, including 13 goals and 21 points in 25 games in that historic 27 Stanley Cup run that will have his name etched in Penguins history for the remainder of time. His ability to create offense was mesmerizing simply because he was not the fastest skater, he was not the hardest shooter, but he was lethal from pretty much anywhere on the ice. And I think the biggest thing that endeared him to this fan base, outside of scoring big goals and winning Stanley Cups, he was fearless. He would go to the front of the net, he would get beaten night in and night out. You can go back to the 2021 playoff series against the New York Islanders. He got absolutely brutalized in that series. And that was kind of the story and the tale of the tape on him his entire career. He would go to the dirty areas. He'd try to find those soft spots, and more often than not, he would. But a lot of the time, he ended up catching a couple strays from a big defenseman that wanted to put him on the ice. And you know what he did? He went right back to those hard areas. He went right back to the front of the net, and he ended up scoring goals because of it. He was fearless. He would go wherever he needed to go. He would do whatever he needed to do to get the Penguins the victory, and I think that is why a lot of people respected his game, a lot of people respected him, alongside of the fact that he was just an elite goal scorer for the Penguins for seven seasons. He may not be part of that big three in Penguins in this era of Penguins hockey, but he will always have been a pivotal part of Sidney Crosby's career story. Like I said at the outset of this legacy talk, he's the best linemate Sidney Crosby has ever had. It's a tough pill to swallow for Pittsburgh. It's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of those guys in the locker room. Kyle Dubas said it in the statement that he released last night. In just one season, he now understands how much Guentzel meant to not just the city, but to the guys in the locker room, to the guys in that core that is so vital to this Pittsburgh Penguins organization. So it's going to be a tough pill to swallow regardless when you get rid of a guy like that who has such a deep understanding and a deep, you know, connection to the city and to the organization, especially to its greatest star in Sidney Crosby. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is a business. They had to go through with it. And while, yes, a lot of people, including me, think it might be a little bit underwhelming, I'm intrigued to see how everything plays out, especially because he's not done. What does Kyle Dubas have to do the remainder of today before 3 o'clock p.m.? He has a lot of names out there that could be traded to add to this haul that he's getting at this trade deadline to, as I kept saying, clear the board as much as possible. Now the Penguins brought back Michael Bunting for a 2-year contract, so that's not clearing the board. If anything, that's kind of muddying the waters a little bit, but Riley Smith, Lars Eller, Ricard Raquel, Alex Nedeljkovic, Chad Ruhwedel, Noel Achari. What are the fate of these players as today rolls on? I think I said Ricard Raquel. Yeah. You can roll on with all of these guys. Keep your eyes on it and see what Kyle Dubas has in store for the Penguins. As of right now, I understand why the fan base doesn't quite trust him based on the work that he's done this season. Look at where the team is at based on the return that he got for Jake Guentzel. But I'm intrigued to see what he gets for some of these players. And if he decides to trade some of these players, you would expect that that is certainly on the mind of the Penguins president of hockey operations and general manager. So at the end of the day, it's the trade. It's what everybody was expecting. It's what everybody was looking for. It's what everybody was trying to project. That is how the trade went down. Jake Guentzel, no longer a member of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Neither too is Ty Smith. That era ends with a crash and a bang. He was great in the AHL, never good in the NHL. I mean, half decent last year when he got the opportunity, but there was just not a spot for him at this point, and you wouldn't expect there to be a spot for him going forward. But in return, Michael Bunting, who you'll probably see play for the Penguins against Boston on Saturday, and he'll probably play in the lineup the remainder of the season. Ville Koivunen, who you probably won't see until at the very earliest next season. Vasily Ponomarev could be with the NHL this season. If not, he's going to the AHL and will be part of the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Penguins push towards a playoff spot. And Cruz Lucius, who you can catch, I guess, for University of Wisconsin games for the remainder of this season. So it's an interesting return. It's certainly something that is underwhelming to a lot of people, but I honestly think it's not as bad as, you know, sound the alarms. This is a horrible, horrible trade. I do think he could have done better, especially if he would have prioritized quality over quantity. And that's the hardest pill to swallow for me because, you know, I wanted one of those top four guys. And I would have taken, maybe if you got two of those top four guys instead of these three and the first round pick, would have probably taken, you know, especially if it was Nikishin. From everything that I've read and saw, Nikishin is a tank. But also from everything I read and saw, he was not somebody that was going to be on the table at any point from Don Waddell and the Carolina Hurricanes. But that's going to do it for this one. We'll be back later today to wrap up the trade deadline, whether it is just this trade or if other trades do go through. But nonetheless, expect more content from us here covering the trade deadline from the Pittsburgh Penguins perspective. But that's going to do it for this episode of Iceberg to Go. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Remember, you can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcasts from.